First East Coast Interplanetary Space Convention held on the farm of one Howard Menger outside of Lebanon, New Jersey. This convention was strange and wonderful in many ways, and not the least interesting aspect were the people who came there. Why do people go to a space convention? Well, I talked to a number of conventioneers, and here are three typical examples culled from the crowd. I first talked to a rather bored-looking gentleman who said,
I haven't seen anything. I don't know anything. I'm just a dumb actor. So.
And that's why you came to the convention?
Curious. Find out what happened or why so many people are interested.
I take it you're not a believer.
I'm not a disbeliever. I just don't know. I have to be shown, or if I was interested enough, I would investigate the part.
You don't feel there's been enough proof offered here today to make you believe?
Oh, I don't believe any proof at all, except that I think some of them are sincere in their statements. And I think some people are taking advantage of the honest individuals who are honest enough and sincere enough and gullible enough to be exploited.
What is your name?
Martin J. Dane. I'm a freelance photographer on this assignment for Argosy magazine.
You've covered these conventions for Argosy before, have you not? How would you say this convention compares?
This one seems a little more sober. Less fanatics, less elderly Californians seeking for something to believe in, not knowing quite what it is or what it might be.
You're not what you call a believer.
No, sir.
Why not?
Maybe I'm incapable of reaching with my mind just as far as these people are willing to go. I don't know. I couldn't define why not.
Well, let me put it another way. From your observations, why do you believe believers are believers?
I think we've got a pretty large percent of the population that are looking for something to believe in, which somebody else will tell them about.
I mean, these are people seeking an answer because they can't find answers anyplace else.
Perhaps. This is one place out of many to seek an answer. But I think there's a few $1,000 being made here in these past 2 days in the sale of books and the admission fee of $2 a person.
A purely materialistic venture. That was the opinion of many who attended the first East Coast Interplanetary Convention. A bunch of crackpots was another opinion. Sincere students of as yet unexplained phenomena was yet a third. To find out more about all three of these opinions, and incidentally, to find out just how much there is to the flying saucer stories, we'll go into many aspects of this new word, ufology. First, the man who held this convention. Many people have claimed to have met beings from outer space and to have ridden in their flying saucers. These people are called contactees. One of the men who has made this claim is Howard Menger, the man who held the first East Coast Interplanetary Space Convention at his farm outside of Lebanon, New Jersey. Is this man a crook, a crackpot, or could he be telling the truth? With these questions in mind, we talked to him. I first asked him about his convention and why he was holding it, and he said,
the purpose of this convention is to enlighten people as to the fact that these so-called flying saucers do exist, that they are spaceships coming from other planets, and that they do contain higher intelligences in the form of man, but they're higher in intelligence, they're spiritually and physically more developed than we are. They know more about how to live than we do. There are no wars on their planet, according to them, and they're here to try to help us, to help ourselves to attain a higher understanding of life and its meaning.
And this convention is part of that educational process.
That's right. And a lot of these speakers here have been exposed to this for some years, the investigators, and they're giving some good information to the people here on just what the whole story is.
What is the whole story?
Well, of course, the message that these people bring us is this.
By these people, you mean the people from other planets?
That's right. As I said, we've more or less gone off the path, so to speak. And that anything that these wars and troubles on this planet, all this has begun with, you can't create anything without first thinking of it. In other words, everything begins with thought. And they say that thought power, the thought, mass thought power on this planet, has created instruments of war and negative approaches to life. Now, everything they do on their home planets, according to them, is constructive, not destructive.
and they're coming to this planet now to educate us to their higher form of thinking.
That's right.
If they have come to educate us, why are they doing it this way? Why not a flying saucer land on the lawn of the White House, for instance?
All right.
And pronouncements made.
Yes.
Let's say that
one does come down in Washington, and the officials there, including the president, come out and they shake hands with these people, and our scientists are there, our American scientists. It would be logical to assume that the Russians might possibly think or believe that we have the secret of these ships, and they might attack us immediately without waiting any longer or going through a Cold War.
Well, couldn't ships simultaneously land, say, on the White House lawn and in Red Square?
Yes, they could. Then the destruction might happen twice as fast.
Why?
Well, both would retaliate against the other.
You don't think that the people of the world would be so shocked by this higher intelligence that they might be shocked into not being aggressive?
Well, I would like to think so.
Since they are afraid of this aggression, they're using what methods to educate us?
They're contacting thousands of people all over the world, people that have a certain something within themselves.
What are the plans for the future as far as these beings from other planets are concerned?
Well, of course, the future looks very, very bright. I have got quite a lot of tangible evidence to prove their existence. And I think within 2 years there's going to be quite a few surprises, such as spaceships coming down in larger numbers and the government coming out with official statements as to their being contacted.
Do you have any proof of this?
No, I have no proof whatsoever.
I have no proof whatsoever. I'm afraid that this is true of most of Howard Menger's statements about his contacts with space people and his trips in their ships. A man who may be a prophet in his own time, or a man who's merely trying to make a profit out of money obtained from his followers. We talked to this man to determine which interested him the most, prophecy or profit. I asked him how he had gotten involved with flying saucers and people from outer space. He said,
"Started when I was 10 years old. Beautiful. Of course, at the time, I didn't know that this woman was a space person from Venus. She talked for about 15 or so minutes.
Wasn't you mean it?
From the woods in the rear of my home, about a half a mile. The next time I saw this woman was in 1946, when a huge fireball-like object came in from the west side of the field, about a quarter of a mile or half a mile from where I originally first saw her. The ship changed from a fireball-like object to a metallic sort of object controlled by some intelligence. When it got about 1 to 2 feet from the ground, portholes appeared and an opening appeared, and two men stepped out. And then this beautiful young lady, at least I thought she was young, stepped out, and I could see, and she later confirmed that she was the same woman that I met when I was 10 years old, who had talked with me 14 years before 1946. And then the real shocker was, she said she was 500. Now, of course, she did not look 500 years old.
Have you met any other of these people from other planets?
Yes, I've met quite a few.
What are they like?
They're just like us, except on their home planets they wear their hair long, like we did in the 17th century. In other words, they don't distort their what nature has given them. They try not to distort their appearance or their bodies or organs in any way. They don't take drugs. They don't eat meat.
What is the life expectancy of these beings?
The average life expectancy on Venus, according to them, is 700 years of age.
And did you find their secret of life?
No, I wish I could. I would not sell it. I would give it away to everyone that I possibly could.
What planets outside of Venus have you met citizens of?
I've talked with people who said they were from Mars, Venus, and Saturn. We saw other people similar to us, only a lot taller, close to 7 feet. We had 7 or 8 witnesses to see these. They came in, back over the fence in the backyard where I used to live.
Did any of these people offer any proof that they were from other planets to you? How were you convinced?
Well, I was convinced by trips in the spaceships, of course, and frankly, I thought I was being hypnotized and dreamed, or either dreamed all of this or something was wrong with me. But since then, I've come back in ships that have been to the moon with evidence of not only life on Moon, but lush vegetation and fruit and everything else.
And you have actually brought these objects back.
Yes, I'm going to show a specimen of one of the fruits tonight. And of course, if you're there, you'll see the rock from the moon's surface. I'm going to show that too.
Howard Menger, guiding genius behind the East Coast's first interplanetary space convention, offers to show proof, undeniable proof, to back up his stories of travel to far-off planets and meeting space people. The specimens he offered to show us, we never saw. Thus, it would follow that there would be great doubt and great belief in the claims of a man who says he's gone beyond the reach of our recognized scientists to travel to the moon. Obviously, this man would be investigated. And so it is that Howard Menger's stories and his documentation thereof have attracted the attention of skeptics. And one of these is a lawyer, Jules St. Germain. I started off by asking Mr. St. Germain whether he believed any part of Menger's stories, and he said,
"Well, I most emphatically disbelieve his story."
Well, let's go through a few of the claims that Mr. Menger has made and his so-called proofs. First of all, there was the matter of a spaceship coming down in a field behind the farm.
I believe he claimed six witnesses, all of whom, I might add, do not believe a word of his story any longer. But let me say this, that Howard Menger, in my opinion, is a very good lay psychologist. In selecting his witnesses, he picked out those in whom there was a desire and a will to believe. He carefully prepared them with his tale so they are ready to believe. Upon reconsideration on hearing Menger's further stories and upon them coming across certain bits of information here and there, these witnesses generally realized they were taken, like Grant took Richmond. One of Howard's grand stories that he had was how he had a contact in Pennsylvania, and he related how an individual had appeared as a spacewoman and bestowed some beneficent and divine kisses upon the chosen few who were allowed to see her. Now, it so developed that one of the witnesses ascertained that actually they were not in Pennsylvania, but in Howard's paint shop. She had commented how hair seemed to stand up, and Howard had said, yes, that is the influence of these magnetic pulsations and the like. Later, she realized that she was under an electric fan. Then, finally, when she came to be kissed by the space woman, she recognized her as a friend of Howard from Long Island. Later on, when Howard was apprised of the fact, he just blandly said, well, actually, we used Miss So-and-so's body, but it really was a space woman. But what about his photograph? Well, I think Howard has developed to a pretty hot man in a dark room. I think he's used his paintbrush and a spray can to great effect and make the mock-ups of sources to be photographed. As a matter of fact, I think he's the only man, and this comes from one of the witnesses, who managed to take two developed prints out of a Polaroid camera at the same time. Mm-hmm. If you're familiar with the operation of a Polaroid, I'm sure you'll realize that you cannot pull out two prints at one pull.
You think Menger is a crackpot or a crook? You said that you don't believe it.
I think Howard has been more ingenious in finding ways of making, or at least attempting to make money out of his story than any of the others. Generally, the boys who claim a contact with a Venusian or a Martian are satisfied to give lectures and or write books and or take donations. But I think Howard's imagination has hit really a high pitch when, in addition, he's able to sell phonograph records of Saturnian music, and I'm quite sure that there'll be moon potatoes on the market. I cannot help wondering if there's going to be a new gimmick of some space medicine to cure illness. If such a thing like that should come along, then I think the situation becomes very serious. I personally can regard this, in some degree, as just a good type of screwball fun. However, there is always the possibility, I think, of some individual taking it so seriously that he or she might part with very substantial amounts of money. Or on the other hand, a person who is highly neurotic might be really triggered off into something more serious than a neurosis. These are the more serious drawbacks.
According to lawyer Jules St. Germain, Howard Menger and his story of contacting space people does not stand up. What about Mrs. Howard Mentor? Her husband claims that when he's not home, he's on a trip to the moon. What would you do if your husband used that excuse to you? Well, Mrs. Mentor's reaction to this is perhaps a bit different than yours would be. I asked Mrs. Mentor when she had become interested in flying saucers and such, and she said,
"Well, I have always been interested in what you call space. I suppose you mean other planets and galaxies,
yes,
and the cosmos. I have always been interested in that ever since I was a child, because that was part of my training and upbringing by my mother."
Where did you meet Howard?
I met Howard at one of his lectures.
You've been in space work with him ever since?
Yes.
Have you had any contact with beings or people from other planets?
I have had a contact with a man who said that he came from Saturn.
The people from other worlds seem to be trying to make contact. You have these conventions to convince people, these appearances, and write books to convince people that these people from other worlds are trying to contact us. Couldn't these people from other worlds do a much more definitive and clear-cut job in convincing us of these things?
I think they're doing this by contacting man himself, that is, mankind here on this planet, rather than going through the red tape of contacting governments, because anyone or alien that contacts a foreign government must go through military red tape, governmental red tape. They must have identification papers. And strangely enough, these aliens from other worlds do not have identification papers.
What have been people's reactions to your telling of this story?
Well, most audiences that we talk to have been very courteous and most receptive, more receptive than I could anticipate.
I'm quite sure the term crackpot has been applied to you. What is your answer to that?
Well, there really is no answer to that, except no comment.
Has anyone accused you of making a racket out of this?
Well, I imagine some have said that, or asked whether we have commercialized this or whether we are making any money out of this. And the answer is no. We never will make any money out of this. We will make enough to subsist on. We hope that.
Do you feel that you'll make money out of this convention?
I don't really know. I haven't counted the receipts as yet, and I think that that will just about come out, well, probably with a little profit. At least we hope so, and we'd be grateful for that.
Connie Mentor claims to be the reincarnation of a being from Venus. She claims her husband, Howard, comes from Saturn. Now, here's a marriage literally made in heaven. But Howard Mentor claims he has physical proof to back up his stories. We asked him about that, starting off with the people who claims to have met on the moon. He said,
"Well, there are no such thing as moon people. According to them, there has been, and I saw evidence of, a race of people indigenous to the moon, but they're not living here now. They're long since gone. The people there now, which I have seen with my own eyes, are people from Venus and Mars, working with thousands of people from this planet. They come there on tour. Most of them are scientists and electronic engineers. Some are just observers like myself."
You mean there are others from this Earth up there when you were there?
Yes.
Why do these people keep the fact that they've been to the moon a secret?
Because if it gets out, they would be stopped in their work, which is only for the good.
Who would stop them?
The governments of this world.
Why?
Well, I don't know. I couldn't answer that.
What sort of reaction do you get when you tell people that you've been to the moon and so forth?
A lot of them are skeptical, but I've been very successful so far.
Have any of them ever accused you of being a so-called crackpot?
Oh, sure. A lot of people do. You see, people laugh and say these things when they don't understand something, or they try to put up a wall because they don't believe it. I call it a wall of ignorance. But of course, we have nothing against people who don't believe it.
Has anyone accused you of making a racket out of this?
Oh, sure. See, I was in the sign business. I had my own sign advertising business for 12 years. I owned it, and it was fairly successful. But once this large account that was carrying most of the business, discovered about my story, what happened, they said they didn't want to use me anymore.
So how have you made a living since then?
Well, I've been lecturing and showing documents and tangible evidence, movies and slides all over the country on the story of the space people.
This is quite a large farm, and you're holding this convention. How much money do you expect to make out of this convention?
We don't expect to make very much. The expenses were very high. We do expect to come out all right as far as not being in a hole.
You are absolutely convinced that this has happened to you?
Oh, absolutely.
Why were you chosen for these trips rather than other people?
Oh, they have. If you use the word chosen, incidentally, I'm not the only one that's been contacted by these people from out of state.
All right. I would very much like to make one of these trips, and I'm sure many people would. Is there any way that one can arrange that?
Yes. If a person is really sincere and would come out with the experience that has happened to him or her, I think that they would possibly be used by these space people for that purpose. But a lot of people hesitate because of the ridicule, loss of their job, it breaks up families, and it causes a lot of trouble if it's not gone about right.
All right. As a reporter, I would like to make such a trip. Could you, in your contact with these people, arrange it?
Why do you want to be contacted?
If this is actually happening, I would very much like to report it.
Believe me, I'm really sincere. I certainly hope that a man like yourself should be contacted to get this thing out.
Well, if such can be arranged, I'm willing to go along with it. However, if there is any truth to Menger's story, and if the space people are so desperate to bring their message to the people of this planet, why shouldn't such a trip be arranged? If this sounds like a challenge to Howard Menger to either put up or shut up, well, it is.
I asked Menger why his pictures were not clearer, and he said, "I do have closer pictures, and I'm holding those for the book. Try to make a little scoop, you might say, so the book will sell, because that's my living." This seems like a strange statement from a man whose motives are purely altruistic, and who is so desperately anxious to bring his message of hope to the people of this planet. What makes this man tick? I don't know. In talking to Menger, I asked him if he had ever been examined by a psychiatrist, and he said,
"Yes, I've talked to quite a few. They don't know, according to them, what to say about me."
Also in attendance, however, were people who make a profession out of flying saucers. We talked to several of these. Among them was Major Wayne F. Ahole, who is not to be confused with Major Donald Kehoe, perhaps one of the best known of the writers on unidentified flying objects. Significantly, Major Kehoe did not bother to attend the convention. But I did talk to Major Ahole and asked about his background, and he said,
"I am the director of Washington Saucer Intelligence."
Is this in any way connected with the United States government?
It is strictly of a civilian nature.
The combination of Major and the fact that you spoke of intelligence, would this lead people to believe that there was some connection with the government?
Not necessarily so. I have a background as an Army Combat Intelligence Officer. I like the word intelligence, and it's very applicable in this study of space visitation.
Who supports your organization?
Various individuals that are in belief. There's many millions of people in America that are very much interested in this program and support it in various ways. I have many friends that believe in the work that I'm doing. I'm not on any regular salary.
How do you live?
By the fruits of my endeavors.
Specifically?
By taking part in various programs that would help or benefit our civilization.
Do you feel that people are now ready to accept the idea that we are being visited by people or beings from other planets?
Yes, very definitely. I found that people in all walks of life are beginning to understand that there is something going on. There are various ideas, of course, in the public mind as to what this is. Some think they must be earthbound ships, but a great majority are beginning to understand and accept the idea that we are being visited from space. I would say over 50% of the people now will admit that there is something going on in this space visitation field.
Have you at any time ever met any of the beings from outer space?
No, I have not. I have had sightings, but I have never talked to a being of another planet.
Do you believe that people have talked to beings from other planets?
this is a very definite possibility.
What is your answer to the fact that the United States government has said that there are actually no such things as flying saucers, that they can all be explained by phenomenon here on Earth?
I don't know if the United States government has ever said this. They have said, given very contradictory answers, and this is mostly from the Air Force. Unfortunately, the Air Force is the arm, the service that has been given this this job, you might say, of reporting these things. I have talked with innumerable pilots, military pilots, who see these craft and have seen them many times, and you cannot get these people to say that there is nothing going on and there's nothing to this. The reports that have come out have been very contradictory, and to me they have meant nothing, you might say, in the way of either support or lack of support. It seems to me that the people are going to have to make up their own mind. They're going to have to do their own research.
On this last statement of Major Aho's, at any rate, I could not disagree. A new word in our language is ufology, the study of unidentified flying objects, known to their friends as UFOs. It's a controversial subject, one in which there are many opinions, many disagreements. Among those participating in this fight is the United States government. To get the government opinion, I talked by phone to Major Lawrence J. Tacker, Executive Officer, Public Information Division, Information Service, Office of the Secretary of the Air Force. First of all, I asked him why the government in general, and the Air Force in particular, was interested in unidentified flying objects. He said,
our responsibility is air defense, and so any report concerning an unidentified flying object, something which we cannot identify, we feel it is our duty to investigate.
Well, does the Air Force investigate each one of these reports that comes in?
That is right, sir.
Off the top of your head, can you tell me about how many of these reports have come into the Air Force?
8,000 reports since June 1947.
How many of these have been unexplained?
Well, in the early days, and of course this was due to the methods of investigation and evaluation, we did run as high as 20%. And since 1955, they have run somewhere in the neighborhood of 2%. We do believe that if more immediate data could have been obtained on these so-called unknowns, that we probably could have satisfactorily explained them.
Is there any possibility that these unknowns, as few as they were spaceships from other planets, other galaxies?
We have no authenticated evidence to substantiate this belief or this theory of space travel in reverse.
Do you have anything that proves that it isn't true?
No, sir. We do not deny the possibility.
What about the number of people, many of whom have written books, have produced photographs, have produced vegetation and stones, which they say could not come from this Earth? What about those and their claims to have contacted these people, and some of them even claim to have traveled as far as the Moon, Venus, Saturn, etc.?
None of them have been able to produce evidence to the Air Technical Intelligence Center to substantiate the fact that they have made such visits, or that the so-called articles came from another planet.
The Air Force then has investigated these stories.
Yes, sir, we have.
What about the comment that is made that anybody who says they see a flying saucer immediately put to ridicule and actually never taken seriously?
We are convinced that a great many people, good, solid citizens, do see things and are mystified by what they have seen. And they do come into the United States Air Force and ask for help in determining what they've seen.
A little while ago, you said something that rather surprised me. You said the Air Force does not deny the possibility of space travel in reverse, as you put it. But what about the statement the Air Force and the other services are either the instigators or the victims, it's never quite clear which, of a great plot to keep flying saucer information away from the peoples of the world?
This is absolutely untrue and unfounded.
You've been pretty close to this subject.
What is your opinion? Do you think there are flying saucers? Do you think they are from outer space?
No, sir. I don't think there are flying saucers.
You are not a believer, then?
I am not a believer, sir.
Major Tactor of the United States Air Force, a man who has spent 11 years studying flying saucer reports, is not a believer in unidentified flying objects. But I've talked to other men in the Air Force who say they do believe in flying saucers and who claim to have seen them. But they won't go on record to say so. However, many retired members of our armed forces have so gone on record and have even joined organizations which are serious-mindedly studying the subject. These organizations contradict the Air Force statistics. Are there such things as unidentified flying objects? And if there are, what are they? This is one of the most controversial questions of our day. There are people who claim to have contacted people from outer space, to have ridden in their spaceships. The United States government, through the Air Force, says that each of these so-called unidentified flying objects can be explained by natural phenomena. In between these two extremes are serious-minded groups who say the objects cannot be explained by natural phenomena and that they're looking for a scientific, rational explanation. Some of the people behind these groups have had the experience and prestige that warrants that their statements be given consideration. A group of people in New York who are studying these phenomena is Civilian Saucer Intelligence. We talked to the treasurer of this group, Isabel Davis, and she said,
"We believe that the flying saucers are real and that they are probably from other planets or other worlds."
Well, the Air Force says that on the sightings since 1955, only 2% have been unexplained. Do you go along with this figure?
That figure does not apply to all of the reports by any means. The percentage for the entire period during which flying saucers have been observed, namely from 1947 to date, is approximately 20% unknown.
Why do you feel that the Air Force is giving out the 2% figure then?
They may believe that the American people would panic if they were told the truth. We do not agree with this, and we believe that the Air Force should make their reports public.
The Air Force maintains they have given all reports out.
I suggest that anyone that believes that statement should try to obtain from the Air Force any of the reports in their files.
Well, do you believe the statements that many people have made that they have been in contact with these flying saucers?
No, CSI does not accept any of the contact communication stories. No real proof has been offered. Proof would be very easy to furnish, but all that the contactees ever offer are excuses for not providing proof.
What is the purpose of these contact stories?
One of the major purposes is prestige. The contactees have a great need to make themselves feel important and look important in the eyes of other people. Some of the contactees appear to be mentally unbalanced. Some of them feel that they have an urgent message to communicate to the world, which they think will be stronger if it comes from the mouth of a so-called Venusian or Saturnian than if it comes from the mouth of a mere human being.
What about the so-called believers who follow these contactees?
I think that their belief springs from several sources. One of them is the need for reassurance. I think these are probably rather frightened people. Nowadays, we are confronted with the possibility that we may very soon be out in space, meeting possible intelligent beings from other worlds, and there is a natural fear of the stranger, the creature from somewhere else. Now, these stories, those, if you read them carefully, you will notice that they tend, in every case, to humanize the extraterrestrial or the spaceman. We find out that they like to listen to soap operas, but they don't approve of them. We find out that they make jokes. All of this reduces them to very human terms. They are no longer frightening because they have been de-spaced, you might say. I think that For the believers as well as for the contactees, there is also a great deal of misplaced idealism. Many of the believers seem to have hearts of gold and heads full of feathers.
Civilian Saucer Intelligence, a New York group who is giving serious study and much time to unidentified flying objects, rejects the so-called contact report of such men as Howard Menger. But they don't reject flying saucers, nor do they deny that the flying saucers may have landed, Isabel Davis said.
As you may know, there are already a number of reports of an entirely different kind which purport to describe meetings with creatures from outer space.
You mean there are some contact stories then that you would believe?
I do not want to say that I would believe them. I simply say that they are different in every respect from the type of story represented by Mr. Menger.
Well, can you give us some examples?
There were in the fall of 1954 in Europe dozens of reports of encounters with little men, about, say, 3.5 feet tall. Then there were also, in the following winter, a number of reports of this type from South America. Then in the summer of 1955, there were reports from this country of encounters, I don't call them contacts, you notice, encounters with small humanoid creatures. It is this group of reports that is so completely different from the Menger type of report seems to deserve to be taken seriously.
Why do you think that these should be taken seriously and not the Menger type of report?
Because in the first place, there is no communication. The behavior of these little creatures is always completely mysterious. The human observers are always terrified. They don't want to have the experience repeated. They would rather forget it entirely. They shrink from the limelight. They don't go back to the same place looking for another contact. They bring no messages. All they want to do is to have everybody go away and leave them alone and let them forget that they ever saw the thing.
In any of these little people contacts, has there been any commercialization?
None whatsoever that I know of. Quite the contrary. One woman said, I would give everything I own if it had never happened.
Why were they so terrified?
Because the things they saw seemed to them really unearthly and out of this world. They looked and behaved not like beautiful, wise, benevolent space brothers, but like something really different, so strange that they did not know what to make of it.
How many of these reports have been investigated thoroughly?
About half a dozen.
And what have been your findings in this investigation?
These stories are certainly not to be brushed off.
There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. Those words of Shakespeare's are even more applicable today than they were to the life of 400 years ago. Perhaps some of those things in heaven and earth are flying saucers. What do you think?